Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to be with us, with you tonight. Have you with us? There we go. Welcome, YouTube. Have you with us tonight? It's going to be a good night studying God's Word tonight. Now, we welcome you to one of the greatest experiences on earth, the study of God's Word. That's what one of the greatest experiences on earth
is. Amen.
Okay, let's get this fixed. Welcome. Everybody maintain your position while we get this fixed over here. We welcome you. Thank you for walking with us and chasing after God and the things of God.
Amen.
It is something. Oh my. All right. There we go. We're getting closer. Now, what we are learning continually is to take what's in front of us, turn it into gold, reach out and touch the world with it, and grow and develop in God. And to apps, preach the gospel, you know. This process I've embarked on here usually takes about 3 or 4 clicks. All right, well, it didn't take that many clicks, but it took a whole lot more, but that's all right. There we go. All right. Isn't that something? Now, usually I can click and talk at the same time.
It takes a whole lot more concentration to get the job done.
Well, it's very interesting because it's like, you don't usually do that. There we go.
Hi, Richard.
Welcome, Richard. Good to have you with us tonight. Obviously, YouTube is with us.
It is.
Just doesn't look like it on my end. All right. Well, you know, it's all right. Been a great day here in North Dakota. It was a beautiful North Dakota February 15th. And I don't know. I want to make sure I say it one more time. After the Super Bowl, we were studying the message today, learning about when God speaks to us. But the Super Bowl this year, it was third year in a row Kansas City won it. The address of the stadium was 333 Allegiant Street. And the quarterback threw 333 yards to win the game. Now, to some of you, that might not mean anything. I'm not one of the weird prophetic people that finds a prophecy in every pen that's lying on the table next to me. However, that says something very specific because the prophet Bob Jones prophesied that the next time Kansas City won the Super Bowl would be the beginning of the apostle, the apostolic ministry, apostolic leaders around the world standing in their place where they are, and the great end time revival was going to begin to take place. So this is the third year in a row, and what's it mean, Pastor? Well, I'm not sure everything it means, but it means something. And this is what we say to the Father. What does that mean? Then they did a sacrifice after the end. I'm not sure what that means. I haven't seen anything about that, so send me an article or something if you can. But, you know, here's what we know from the side of the prophetic. God prophesied it 50 years after the first one happened. It happened again. When that happened, there's a whole bunch of things that placed in Kansas City all at the same time. And it's one of those things that makes you look at life and say, all right, I know you're saying something. I'm not going to worship a stadium. I'm not going to worship a football team. I'm not going to worship a football player. So none of that has any effect here. Well, at the Super Bowl party last night, they also, somebody was killed too. Yeah. Or 17 or whatever it was. Yeah. But, right. Thank you. Right. I'm with you, Richard. But here's the reality. God is speaking 24/7, 365. Are you and I listening 24/7, 365? And can we listen to what he's saying without becoming a weirdo? And without chasing a deceiving, seducing spirit? So it's just one of those, it's one of those fine lines that you walk and you just continually say, Father, show me your will. Show me what you're saying. I want to know everything you're saying. And if I am not perceiving it, you're speaking, and I'm not perceiving it, then somehow make it very, very plain to me. And this is what we know. God is not going to let any man stand in your way from getting to him. Not Amen. Even you. Amen. God's not even going to let you stand in the way of yourself if you're continually entering in. If you're continually entering in. And so tonight, I'm going to continue on with our thought from last night of changing your if to a since. Now, I did another one of those searches with my eSword. I just love the eSword for this. I encourage you to learn how to use your programs, whichever one works for you, learn how to use it, and then use it continually, day and night. And grow and develop in God in every single way that you possibly can. Time is short, and we got to win everybody around us for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God. And we've got to allow God to be as big and mighty and powerful and amazing and wonderful and awesome as he can be in our lives.
Amen.
And just in no way limit God. And so this word tonight and last night is talking about how to change your if to a since. Now, I went to the eSword and searched it up. And the phrase, if you, King James Bible, if you. And it's used quite a few times in the teachings of Jesus. One of the most famous of Jesus' words that has if you in it is, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Well, you can change that if to a sense. Since I do believe, all things are possible to me because I believe. And nobody gets to decide your ifs or senses in your life except you. You get to decide your own. So that's where we're going. Now, let's open up here with prayer. Oh, wow. We won't have much time for this, do we? There we go. We're opening with prayer. Father gave me this prayer, and I like to use it because it's a powerful prayer. Still didn't get it added. Here we go. Remember, whenever we say the pledge to the Christian flag or the United States of America flag, if it's at all possible, we rise because that's a point of honor. And we're honoring the life of those who paid a dear price for this flag. And many, many millions have given their life for the Christian, to be a Christian and for the cause of Christ. And I'm not sure the total number now, but I would say a million have given their life for the American flag. And we always stand in honor. I haven't said this in a while, but remember, when you stand in honor, and it's a very honorable moment, you're going to have the thought, the temptation to rock back and forth and move in the spirit. Always, when it comes to these moments of honor, do your best to hold yourself still. When you see the troops and they're honoring one of their fallen brothers, it's at attention. And then we give ourselves to attention. Now, I say this all the time, but anyways, here we go. Let's place our hand over our heart. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Now the pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid that last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who have stood somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence lasts for 21 seconds. In honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Join with me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And now, our opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration boldly through the blood of Jesus as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry. Lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And now, the commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garment. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life forevermore. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace on your gift in my life. I love these conditions. It's the word of God, and the word of God is able to make you stand. His word is. Now we pray over the fivefold ministry, and we receive from this instruction. Father, we speak over the fivefold ministry all over the world right now. Who's ever standing in the pulpit? What is this, Thursday night? Mm-hmm. On a Thursday night service and a revival service. May that anointing of God come on them, and the confusion no longer be there. In Jesus' mighty name, may they be bold as a lion, focused like a fighter, anointed to the bone. Here we are. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness. for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God, so that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' mighty name. You might say, what kind of supply am I bringing, Pastor? Your faith that says, speak to me tonight, Holy Spirit. That's a supply. Mm-hmm. That puts a draw on the anointing. That draw on the anointing pulls the word of God from heaven right through me while I speak into your life, and transforms the lives of everybody else that's here. Amen. Now, amen. I know I said I wanted to get right to teaching, but I get in these confessions and you just can't leave them out. It's like, no, we got to speak this.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every victim of terrorism, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert justice and have no regard for life. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of the nations of the world. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in Patriot Prayer of Dedication.
Father, help us the living
to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom. Right here, right now, today, we declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright. Freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Let's see if I can get this to come out here. Let's pray for all this shooting that's going on. Yeah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus right now, we stand together in agreement with every great prayer warrior, every great man of God, every prayer ministry team, everybody that has an assignment. We rebuke this spirit of murder, this spirit of terrorism. You do not belong in this nation. The word of God says that our borders will not be breached and there will be no terror amongst us. We will not be afraid of the terror that might happen other places. And we bind this mass shooting situation. Father, heal Lakewood Church. Heal them, Lord. Heal the congregation, everybody that was in that building that day. May they have the courage to come back. May they have the courage to come back. May Pastor Joel Osteen and all of his executive team look at the doorways and the openings of that building and say, no, we're going to make sure you guys are secure and you can feel safe coming in here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And may the anointing of God, may the manifest anointing of God be greater and higher and stronger and more piercing in Lakewood Church than it's ever been. May it be greater and stronger.
Amen.
And may people just be drawn. May that which the enemy tried to do to destroy, may people just be drawn there. And may all of Houston just flip for righteousness and holiness and kingdom of God. May it become the most patriotic red, white, and blue flag-waving city in America because the enemy attacked. We call it done now in Jesus' mighty name. Call it done now. Every wicked operator that's trying to produce murder and terror in our nation, we rebuke you in the mighty name of Jesus. We'll not put up with it. We will not put up with it. And we declare right now over this young man, this child that is in the hospital from the Lakewood shooting, we speak over these that were in the shooting there in Kansas City. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say no more.
No more.
May the shooter fall down when he walks out of his house from now on and bump his own head in his own yard and be found laying in the yard with weapons all around him. Expose these enemies, Father. Expose them in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare over the over these that are in Kansas City, many lives, many, many people's lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare the blessing of the Lord, the strength of God, the healing of God. You said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You said that you would heal the brokenhearted. We don't even know how that can happen, but we declare in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they are healed and healthy and whole and strengthened in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, this is what we know. There's an evil agenda that's working very hard to take our guns away from us. Because they know with a citizenry that has got weapons, they cannot overthrow us and put us into a socialistic, totalitarian, communistic government. And we will not surrender our weapons of protection. We'll not surrender our Bible, the number one weapon of protection. We'll not surrender our Constitution, the number two level of protection. And that gives us the our Constitution is certain unalienable rights, which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you will not take our long rifles from us either. Every person that gets in the way, we command you to bow your knee and leave this nation and leave us alone. We will not surrender to you in any form in Jesus' mighty name. May the great patriots of the United States of America go buy another 10 or 15 boxes of ammunition. You can't take it away. We're Americans. You're a lying, deceiving force. We bind you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thwart their plans, Father.
Yes.
Thwart the plans against this great nation. Seal our borders off yourself, Lord. You seal them. May people not be able to get across it. You seal the border for Israel, for Jerusalem, for Judah. You acted more than once. Do it again now. May everybody just stand and their jaw dropped open saying, there, don't know what we're doing now. But you can't get past those big angels. Seal the border. May the angels seal every room solid tight where wickedness is being devised against the United States of America right now tonight. Angelic messengers show up in the middle of it and say, no, you don't. Turn the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the righteous who'll use it to do the right thing.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we declare Psalm 144. I'm going to just turn there. Psalm 144. I believe that's it, isn't it? 144:14. That our oxen may be well laden, that there would be no breaking in or going out, that there be no more outcry in our streets. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. And if you've ever felt like, you've ever felt helpless in this, how do we stop it? The greatest way we stop it is what we did right here, right now. Speak it out of our mouth in faith. Our verses for tonight, one of our main verses is Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. If you can believe. Then he also said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. What's the mountain? These people that are standing against our Constitution, you anti-U.S. Constitution people, we command you be removed from your position
Amen.
Of authority.
Amen.
Be removed. Publicly, suddenly, severely.
Yeah.
You will not pervert our Constitution. We've been praying it for years. I've been praying it for 20 years. Myself. So prayer's gone up. For some of you were even big enough to be in them positions. I'm not an old man. I can't believe I just said that. It's amazing how your spirit and your soul doesn't understand the number that is pertaining to the age of your body. Like, whatever. In the mighty name of Jesus, somebody shouted, it is done.
It is
done. It is done in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, welcome everybody. Might not be the normal way we begin every program, but it doesn't matter. We're in a serious situation here in the United States of America. And we've got to, if you think we got problems now, let them have all of our weapons.
No.
And then talk to England and talk to Australia about what happened when they gave up their weapons. We call it done now.
Thank you, Richard, for agreeing. It is done.
And, oh, my goodness. So, Sister Rebecca, just posted. The Air Force Base had a active shooter. No shots were fired. No one was injured. Great Falls, Montana. All right. I'm just looking at that because it gave the town called Glendive. And we go through Glendive regularly here. But I don't see that again. So anyways, this was at a nuclear Air Force base, Air Force missile base. And it was locked down. And we declare right now in Jesus' name that every missile site, it is amazing how I drive by them on a regular basis, and then I say, that's a missile site. And I can take you to probably 25 missile sites right now. And they are, in my opinion, underprotected. However, I said that to somebody out here. That doesn't seem like much protection. And the man kind of chuckled. And he said, just walk up to the fence. He said, it's no big deal. Just walk up there. I'm like, really? He said, yeah. Yeah. You'll see how fast it is protected. So, you know, if some of you are, you know, living wild and you like walking on the wild side, come on up. I'd like to see you do that. But anyways, thank you, Rebecca, for putting that in there. You know, can you pull up real quick the prayer for the borders? Did we actually have a prayer for the borders or just for the bridges and waterways? I came here to teach. I mean, I got 177 verses here to teach, or whatever it was, 117. But this is a serious issue, and this is how you and I deal with the issue. Jesus said, Matthew 21:21, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to that fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done.
We had the one over America that falls through for the protection of the airports and the hospitals.
Yeah, let's do that, and then let's do the waterways. I'm going to do two more confessions here. Thank you, Richard. In Jesus' name, it is done. Amen. Thank you. I want to do two more confessions here, but the bottom line, guys, is we're the ones. The sons and daughters of Uncle Sam and Lady Liberty. It is what we say that goes. This is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And it doesn't matter what wicked people coming in do. If we stand in faith, they get born again.
Amen.
And they get turned into mighty warriors of the cross.
The army of God grows.
And the army of God grows in Jesus' mighty name. Whenever you're ready, just take the deal here. All of a sudden, you will see the screen going. Sister Leanne will be on it. I won't be Sister Leanne. Don't worry. It happens real quick. There you go. So while she's going, Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, the screen will not change and you lose all your verses." There you go. "You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but you'll also say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it will be done. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now let me read one more verse before we start this confession. Just keep, you can keep it right up there.
Oh.
Keep it right up there. 1 John 5:14. "This is the confidence that we have in him." I don't have confidence in the Republicans or the Democrats. I don't know if you've learned that yet. Hopefully you have. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and we do," here's one of those ifs, "and we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petition that we have asked him." Here we go. I can't see it. Do it.
Here we go. This is our prayer over America. "Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father God, we love you. We depend on you
and on your faithfulness.
Even when things look dark around us and when it's difficult to see the light ahead, we see you working. And we know you will never leave us or forsake us. Father, thank you for being the light of all men.
Jesus, thank you for being the light that shines in the darkness.
Thank
you
for
being
the
way, the truth, and the life.
And Holy Spirit, thank you for shining your illuminating light in our hearts, that we may see Jesus and cry out, Abba, Father, through you and your power. Father God, in Jesus' name, we lift our beloved nation up to you today. Father, we pray over the USA that she will know peace, the true peace which passes all understanding, the peace that can only be found in Christ Jesus, that she will know joy, the true joy that is only found in the presence of God, that she will know wisdom, the wisdom from above, which is first pure, then peaceable, undefiled, willing to yield to you, and full of mercy and good fruit. Father God, we ask today in Jesus' name that you would bless kings and those who are in authority. We acknowledge today that the kings and people who are in authority may or may not be two different people, Lord, But we pray that you would shower them all with your goodness, which brings men
to repentance. Amen.
Father, for those leaders and workers in government who may not yet be saved, we ask that you would pour out your spirit of salvation upon them.
From the president to the humblest, most unknown worker in the land,
let them cry out to you for mercy and salvation. And Father, for those who refuse to be saved and refuse to honor you and walk in righteousness and justice, we pray that their days in office will be few and that another would take their office according to your will and plan, O Lord. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we declare that revival is falling on America.
We declare that Christians are rising up and preaching Jesus in the streets.
We declare
that churches are being filled again with people who are being saved.
We pray and declare that we, your servants,
receive the boldness from you to preach and speak as we ought to speak.
Father,
we also ask that you would protect these United States of America.
Protect her people.
Her supply chain, her economy, her food sources, her ports, her airspace, her military, her government, her cities and villages, her schools, her shopping malls, airports, all dams, waterways, water supply, power grid, and every other facility.
Protect our Constitution and Bill of Rights, Father.
Protect the integrity of the Supreme Court, for we acknowledge that even though the court is called supreme, you are the supreme being,
and you rule over all
as you will. O Holy Father, we need you. We need you to give life to our nation again. Heal and restore our economy. Protect and bring justice to our elections. Repair our health care system and set it aright. Heal our military. Pause. Father, I speak over every weak, wimpy, weird, demonized officer and the United States military. May the God of all of heaven and earth meet you in your sleep and show you how messed up this is. And we declare that you turn, and you do your duty according to the oath of office that you took. You swore to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and all true allegiance to it. In the mighty name of Jesus, help the House and the Senate to impeach every one of these wicked people, get them out of their positions, so that America we're no longer weak. We're seen as strong on the world stage in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We pray against every false theology and ideology, which are idolatry.
And in Jesus' name,
we cast them down in America right now. We declare this will be the year in which America and Americans and every stranger within the gate will wake up and see the light of Jesus Christ shining upon them. We declare and decree this is the year in which we all know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We decree that life shall prevail, and every murderous intent of every person exposed to evil is cast down now and replaced with the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We declare that there shall be an end to control and manipulation now, and that freedom would ring out again from even the dirt and stones of our nation.
And we declare and decree
that there shall be
of Jesus Christ,
the Word of God, shall run swiftly from border to border, from lake shore to gulf shore,
and
from sea to shining sea,
and that
all the people in our great nation would no longer be deceived, but would be filled with your spirit as you pour out your spirit upon all flesh. Father God, there may be much darkness around us, but you shine through the darkness. You have done much in prior years
to right many wrongs in our nation. We praise you for that.
And we thank you, and Father, we humbly ask you to bless us and heal our land. Turn your people back to you
and do exceedingly, abundantly,
above all we could ever dare to ask, hope, or think. Show up, Lord, and do the great and mighty for us in the USA this year. Thank you, Abba Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.
And amen.
And amen.
And you'll notice I got my globe. This is a great idea. Gives you the ability to lay hands on the whole world. All in one act. I always wanted to have a big globe, but you can cover the whole earth. You can literally cover the whole earth. Lay your hands on this earth and say, God Almighty comes to this now.
Amen.
This is the decree over the waterways. Wow.
Father, we know that if Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters at creation,
Jesus was declaring life-giving words
as his ecclesia.
His representatives,
we now declare and decree
his words over our water supply, waterways, and dams.
We decree that the
powerful and majestic voice of the Lord thunders upon America's waters, blessing them with peace. We declare peace and security within our nation's walls. Violence will no more be heard in our land. No devastation or destruction within our borders. Our walls are salvation, and our gates praise. We declare that God is a wall of fire around our nation, and his glory is in our midst. He is our hiding place. We are protected from trouble because he surrounds us with songs of deliverance, and his angels encamp around us. The Lord keeps us from harm by day and by night, watching over our coming and going from now
and forever.
We decree by faith in God, his word, that every dam, waterway, water supply, and power grid in all of America is protected and shielded from evil.
no evil plot planned or devised against them will succeed.
Every snare is broken. We will not fear, and terror will not come near us. We decree Proverbs 21:22
over America.
A warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases regional breakthrough, bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. Therefore, we decree the tearing down every hidden stronghold of the enemy over America's dams, waterways, water supply, and power grids, and release breakthrough in every region. We decree Isaiah 58:11 over America that she is a well-watered garden whose waters do not fail. And we declare Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness from Jesus. Our righteousness is from Jesus. Now, let's read some scripture now. I don't know if you can tell, but this is not in any way what I had planned for tonight, but it'll be all right. How do you know? I mean, be all right with it just being all right.
I am.
All right. Shay, it'll be all right. Let me just do something here. I got to just add a couple words.
Yeah, this is good because we need to put a stop to this stuff that's trying to wear up again.
There we go. All right. I just added to the title. I really like of our program, Prayers for America. Do you like how we can do that?
I do.
Amen. Amen, Sunday. We have Jesus. Amen. You know, what we learned in May of last year when the whole world was fasting and praying for Israel is we learned there's a lot of prayer warriors around the world. We are not deficient in prayer warriors. We might be deficient in the prayer warriors being able to come together in unity, in the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And God help us that we get that figured out in our lives. But we're not deficient in any sense of the world in prayer warriors around the world. And if you think about the prayer warriors, most of them are, their heart's in the right spot. They just, you know, they got their own deal. And then they look at everybody else and say, well, what's wrong with them? And Jesus is like, well, don't worry about what's wrong with them. I want you to worry about what's wrong with you. Go with me to Mark. Let's read both of these stories. So we're going to go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. the reference point I'll give you is through 37. But actually, it's through 41. Sorry. I don't usually do that. I usually just go down Mark 9:14 through 29. That's the story. But I look down at my headings in my Bible, and then it gives me two headings past the story of Jesus casting the demon out of a little boy. And the second heading down is when the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. You realize that's why Jesus told them that this kind of unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting, because he knew what was in their heart as they were still thinking and wondering about who was the greatest among them. That's why you got to fast and pray. You got to get this right.
Get yourself right.
Because they're getting ready to walk down the road a little ways, and then they're going to start arguing about who's the greatest amongst them, and Jesus is going to say, what are you arguing about? And you know, oh, nothing, Jesus, nothing. It's all good. It's all good. We don't get the other part of the story, but Jesus is like, don't lie to me. It ain't all good. Y'all talk about being the greatest. And then you hear Peter, I told you, John, shut up next time, would you? That's why in the one story of multiplying the bread, Andrew said, no, you go tell him. Here we go. Let's look at these couple set of verses. It's not really, I guess there's an if you in it, but we got to get your ifs changed to senses. It definitely matches what God said to us here tonight. That is for sure. Here we go. Mark 9:14. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude among them, around them. And the scribes disputing with him immediately. When they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, to Jesus, greeted him. When he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Now, hold your place in Mark 9 and go back to me with Matthew 10. We're going to read Matthew 10, verses 5, read Matthew 9, 35 through 38 first. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Somebody could put those verses in the text there. That would help. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Look what it says. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. How many sicknesses? Every. How many diseases? Every. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth, that word is ekbalo, to send them out violently, the laborers into his harvest. Now just follow along. That was Matthew 9, 35 through 39. I mean 38, 35 through 38. Now we're going to Matthew 10. Let my wife catch up.
I thought you were saying Mark 9, 14.
We are right in the middle of Mark 9. But we had to go over here while we was there.
Oh, I see. You had to do a coffee run, that's all.
You can't ask for coffee and then be upset when they're not all happening. There we go. So it's Matthew 9, 34 through 38. Now we're going to Matthew 10, 5 through 15. Watch what this says. Jesus sent out the disciples and said, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, this is what Jesus said to the 12 disciples that's over here in Mark chapter 9 that didn't get the demon cast out. Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That was Jesus' assignment to the disciples. And then the disciples came back saying, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. And he said, don't rejoice about the demons being subject to you. Rejoice that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are the number one most powerful demon casting out and group of men there are. On this day, something happened. And you can see down here in verse 33 of Mark 9 what happened. They still had the battle going on the inside. Which one of them were the greatest of the disciples? And while Jesus was up on the mountain, it must have reared its ugly head. Reared? Raised? Arised? Raised. Must have raised its ugly head. All right, I'm back in Mark 9, 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whatever it seizes him, throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. They were already demon caster outers. They already had experience. He answered and said, Jesus did, oh, you faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. They brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. How many know that's a pretty severe sight?
Yes, it is.
I saw it the other day. I saw a video the other day on YouTube of a young lady in an airport doing that very thing that you just said, that we just read right there. And I'm like, wow, that girl's got a demon. That's what they brought in. That's what they're trying to bring in from around the world is demon-possessed people. You ready? We declare in Jesus' name, every one of you get delivered, born again, spirit-filled. All y'all come to Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 21, he asked his father how long has this been happening to him, and he said from his childhood, throwing himself into the fire, into the water to destroy him. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You ready? Change your if. Say it. I believe. I believe. Just make the declaration. I believe. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him. Enter him no more. Spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and he came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into his house, Jesus had a house. His disciples asked him privately, saying, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, this kind of pride about who's the greatest amongst you only comes out by prayer and fasting. Wait. That's not what that verse reads. But go down here to verse 33. And it says he came to Capernaum. And when he was in his house, there's his house again, he asked them, what was it that you were disputing about amongst yourself on the road? Verse 34. But they kept silent, for they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. You got to know if Jesus is walking along with them and they're walking along behind him disputing about who's the greatest. He heard every word they said. Watch this. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he'll be last, and he'll be the servant. Took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken it, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And he who receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. I like the other one better. And if you receive me, you receive him who sent me. See, then verse 38, John answered him saying, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us, casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. Jesus said, do not forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Now, in that, it's got 14 through 41, and that 25 verses, Jesus lays it all out. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So whose decision is it on whether or not you believe? I mean, think about it. Whose decision is it if you believe? Well, I don't know, Pastor. I could never believe like you. Do you see what Jesus said? Quit comparing yourself to anybody else. See, everyone of you that just said that, you got to go to fasting and prayer now. Wait, Sister Leanne and I got a very good fasted lifestyle that you ought to be trying. It's working really good. And why am I going to go to fasting, Pastor? Well, you got to go to fasting because you're still concerned about what somebody else thinks. Don't do that. What difference does it make? Nobody can change your sense. I believe all things are possible. Let's deal with an issue about faith. Go with me to Mark chapter 11. This is not anywhere close to what I was going to preach. All right, well, it's close, you know. It's at the end of the Mississippi River instead of the beginning. I wanted to coast all the way down the whole Mississippi River with this teaching. Mark 11. Look at this. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look. The fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Look at there. Now, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. One of the translations says, have the faith of God. Another translation says, have the God kind of faith. Well, what's the God kind of faith? God's kind of faith is calling things that be not as though they are. Right? We've been talking about it in the last little bit. If your dog's not on the back porch where you need him, what do? You call him. Here, Jake. And if he doesn't still on the back porch, you don't call the cat that's laying there next to you. You call the dog that you need. Some people are like, you're making it way too simple, Pastor. It's not like that. Yeah, it is. Because God, who gives life to the dead, that's what it says. See if I can get that verse. Where's that verse at? There it is. Romans 4:17. I was trying to put it in a whole bunch of different places, but it just wasn't going to fit there. Romans 4. Look at this. Thank you, Jesus. You're doing a good job. We're following you. You need to teach us, Lord. Romans 4. Let's see. Let's go back and grab, what time is it? Oh my, look at the time it is. Let's go to 4:13. And we'll go down to, trying to find the end of the sentence. let's go clear down to the, we'll just put it 13 to 25. That's the whole reference point. We'll read whatever we got to. What are we doing, Pastor? We're changing that if. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. Well, nobody, not even Jesus, gets to tell you it's not time for you to, since I do believe. God wants you to believe right now. So say it. Since I believe, all things are possible to me. Some of you, that's a mate. Some of you, that's a ministry. Some of you, that's some money. That's pretty good. 3 M's. That's a good Baptist message right there. Romans 4:13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if you are of the law, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. I don't want wrath. You want wrath? No. I want wrath. Law brings about wrath. For there is no law, for where there is no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Just remember, you can't do any of this in your own power anyways. If it's not of God, how's it going to come to pass? How are you going to heal somebody in your own power? That's not going to happen. How's miracles going to happen in your own power? It's not going to happen. You've got to have God. Here we go, 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Ready? Raise your right hand and say, the promise is sure to me. Because we are the seed of Abraham. Amen. Not only those who are of the law, but also those who are the father of us all. Well, how far back can you track your ancestors? I track mine clear back to Father Abraham. Had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. Now look at this. God, who gives life to the dead, and God, who calls things which do not exist as though they did. That's what God did. God saw darkness and said, let there be light. And light was. God said, I need some cows. So he spoke to the dirt. And God said, I need all the birds. And he spoke to the water to get the birds. Isn't that interesting? God said, I need someone like me. So he spoke to himself. And he breathed into you and me the breath of life.
Wow.
God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. Keep breathing. Remember, we're talking about Abraham. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. He was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Lost my spot. And being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Therefore, it was counted to him for righteousness. Not only did Abraham have a promised son, his faith brought him righteousness. You and I, standing in faith with God, get this, you and I, standing in faith with God, we receive righteousness. Faith. It's your faith that produces the righteousness. Well, I never. I know, and I got 26 messages in one playlist about righteousness that you ought to listen to. It'll help you. It really will. Well, where are we even at, Jesus? My goodness sakes alive. Let's go back to Mark chapter 11, and let's look at that. I love that. God calls things that be not as though they are have beening. Did you get those word verb tenses? They are have beening, which means not only are they, but they have beening a long time. All you and I got to do is just hook up into it. That's all we got to do. So we got to live in the presence and glory of God every day. Yeah, but Pastor, I try to be holy and stay in worship and sing only worship songs. It's not about staying holy and or it's not about just walking around with your hands folded singing worship songs. It's about every day, all day long, wherever you are, giving glory to God and being filled with power and might and strength and dominion and looking for God in everything that's out there. Looking for it. Remember, what was it? Two springs ago, the robins were following around. Remember that? Yeah. Well, what was that, Pastor? I don't know. Well, I got a good word for you. They're not following me around today. If them boys came up here, they've already gone back to like Nebraska or somewhere because it's like, whoa, that's some cold. There ain't no worms coming out of the ground yet, boys. But see, what was that? That was God saying, is he going to be paying attention good enough to say, wait, what's going on here? And what God doesn't want you to worship a robin. I think the greatest story of any of them I've heard is from Bill Johnson. Wouldn't it be cool if we could find that story of the bird? Did it tell it on that video that you were listening? Mm-hmm. It did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. About the road runner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long is it taking to tell it? See if you can find it. It's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard. have you ever had a period of time in your life, just send me the link once you get it.
Oh.
Which you could probably do right now so I can get set up while you're trying to find it. Just send it to me real quick. Have you ever had a point in your life where all of a sudden there's like a specific number that keeps showing up, or a sequence of numbers, or you know, something, and it's just repetitive over and over and over? And I've had it now for 6 months, just double numbers on the phone. It'll be 12-12. It'll be 01-01. It'll be 22-22. I got my phone on military time, 22-22. And people will be like, and you're looking at like, why am I continually seeing these numbers? But, huh? It don't matter. Why am I continually seeing these numbers? Well, automatically, as soon as I saw it, I said double-double. God said that he was going to bring to us the double. He was going to give to us double for our shame. And then in Joel it says, and for your shame you will have the double. Isaiah says, you will rejoice in your portion, and in your land you will have the double. God's about the double. It don't matter if you're full of doubt and unbelief and poverty and debt and all that. It don't matter where you are. Stop being that, because God's about abundance. I command you to stop being about that. In Jesus' mighty name. God wants you to prosper, be in health as your soul prospers. Anyways, so I kept seeing these double-double, and I just kept saying, wow, thank you, Father. Every time I see it, I'm like, thank you, Father, for the double anointing, the double blessing, the double honor, the double in my portion, the double inheritance. I receive it. And then get to the point where you say, since it's double, I receive it, I receive it. And it's like, isn't that very interesting how it happens? And so what is it trying to do? It's God trying to get your attention and for you to say, what's going on, Lord? Listen, this old doctrine of God's the master, you're the servant, don't ever ask him a question, just obediently do what he commands you to do. Those days are long gone. The Father is seeking worshipers. He's not seeking slaves that'll just do his every bidding. He's seeking worshipers, those who will worship him and fellowship with him and live in spirit and in truth, in oneness with him. And we've taught you that doctrine and that teaching over and over out of John chapter 17, how God wants you and I to be one with him. And in being one with him, we get to walk with him every, very, very specifically, every single day. Now, give me just a second here. I got to get a couple things going, but that's probably all I needed was just a second. And hey, don't make a liar out of me. I said a second. Now, you and I are the ones that get to put faith in everything we do. Nobody can stop you from speaking faith. Nobody. Nobody can stop you from living in faith. Nobody can stop you from producing great and mighty things in faith, except you and me. Nobody can. Why? Because faith is of your heart. And you might not have anybody in your family that has faith and is willing to speak to the mountain. Well, then be the first. And everywhere you go and everything you do, no matter what you put out, make sure you speak life more abundantly. And you speak to the mountain to be removed and cast to the sea. May everyone in your family and your group of friends know that when you make a post, it's going to have I speak life and life more abundantly. Mountain, move now in Jesus' mighty name. You be the one and inserts it into the middle of everything there is. Why? Because in the middle of inserting that faith, other people are going to begin to get strong. You get a friend that comes down with cancer, then you post that good prayer I've given you, and if you can't find it, text me, I'll find it. And it's a prayer that curses cancer, calls on life, life more abundantly. And when you post it in the thread about your friend, put it right at the top of your post. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Most times I write, everybody pray this out loud with me. And then put it in there. Make it nice and clean. Make sure your spelling's right. Make sure your punctuation's right. Put some paragraphs in so that it's not all bunched up, so it's easy to read. And then click it and send it. And you watch how many people click on that and put like or love, put a heart or something, thumbs up on that prayer. And usually those ones that do that are the ones that actually prayed the prayer. And if you can get two of you to agree is touching anything, God Almighty can go to work on behalf of everybody that's put their faith on them. See, you and I are the leaders in everything that we do. God said it. Let me put one of my holders here. God said it. Watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look at what this says. Deuteronomy 28. Open your Bible and look at this. Deuteronomy 28:1. It will come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully to do all he commands you, his commandments which I command you today. And this first 13 verses are commandments to be blessed. So your response is to be blessed. I receive your commanded blessing. That the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. That means you're going to be a leader everywhere you go. Pastor, I'm not a pastor. How can I be a leader? You don't have to be a pastor to be a leader. You just got to provide leadership. Stand up and lead. When anybody in your company needs prayer, pray for them. The other day, some of you heard me say it on the morning program, that my app was messing up. Kept turning off. I text the boss and I'm like, something's going on with this app. He goes, yeah, they're working on it. The Devon crew, or something he called it, is working on it. I texted him back. I said, well, at least you identified the problem. So I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off our app. I command this app work in Jesus' mighty name. Send it to him. Well, Pastor, I can never do that. Yeah, you could. And it's a place of leadership. Because you know what begins to happen? Then they begin to come and tell you what's going on so that you can pray, because they're going to see that things change when you pray. What? You and I are the force on this earth. And if we'll change the if in the Bible to since and the inside of us here, then all of a sudden we begin to get the great benefit and the great blessing of Almighty God in our lives. I don't know. I sure hope you can see God's vein all the way through this night. We prayed for America. We prayed over our waterways. We prayed over our borders. We prayed over the Constitution. We spoke over the fivefold ministry. We connected our faith back to Abraham Lincoln and our founding fathers. And now we've connected our faith all the way back to our father Abraham. And we're living in, we're going and gaining benefit from the great cloud of witnesses that are in heaven. And they are pouring out their prayers, and they're praying for you and I every single day. See, guys, All those of your loved ones that's gone on before you, they're praying the most perfect prayers that could ever be prayed, because they no longer see through the glass dimly, but they now see all the way through. Now watch this. God commands this blessing on you and I. If you've not read it lately, read Deuteronomy 23 or 28 verses 1 through 13. Down to verse 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, don't ever back your faith down. No matter what's happening in your life, don't back your faith down. You call yourself and everybody around you healed, healthy, whole, prosperous, blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Do it. When God begins to speak to you and show you these things, just say, what are you saying, Father? I can tell you're speaking to me. What are you saying to me? My answer is yes, Lord, yes. My answer is yes, Lord, yes. We will do it, and we will be what you called us to be. Now, looks like Sister Leanne is having trouble finding it. It's an amazing story of God's blessing. It is just, it's an amazing story of God speaking to his people. I didn't worship the robin. I'm not worshiping the different time things I put in my Bible and my phone. If you can see my phone, I have just hundreds of these in my phone, because every time I would see it, I would just click my phone and take a picture of it. It was happening so often that I would just click my phone. Of course, now I'm having trouble finding it, but it don't matter. I'm not having trouble finding it. I'm just going to quit trying to find it, because who knows? But anyways, the idea is this. When God begins to speak to you and you begin to see things coming over and over and over and over again, then what do? Then you just reach down there inside of you and you say, Jesus, what is it that you're trying to tell me about today? I will say yes. My answer will be yes, Lord, yes, and do a mighty work on the inside of me. Now, let's go to my favorite if and since verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Stop. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, take the if out and say it this way. Since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, make it personal. He who raised Christ from the dead is also giving life to my mortal body. Since, take the if out. You're born again. You're filled with the Spirit. Take the if out. You don't need that if. It's now moved from if to since. Since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. He who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to my mortal body. Did you find it?
Yeah.
How long is it?
I put it to all. I don't know. It starts at 30, 45. I put a timestamp in.
You put a timestamp in?
Yeah.
My wife put a timestamp in. How awesome is that? She puts a lot of time spent in. I wasn't being wrong, all right? Oh, my goodness. I'm having trouble here. Oh, my goodness, I'm not having trouble.
And I don't know how long. I didn't check to see how long.
Okay, everybody say, in Jesus' name, Pastor's phone worked. What is going on?
You want me to do it?
No. Well, I guess you could. I can't get to the timestamp. I am getting to this timestamp right now. Comment. No timestamp.
You have to like go completely out of the message and come back in, maybe?
No, no, it's not the message. It's YouTube that's giving me trouble. Okay. Here we go.
You got it?
All right. Going to the comments. No timestamp. So you do it. Everybody listen. It's just Thursday night. We might as well do it. Isn't that something? I do not have your timestamp.
Huh. Oops. I forgot this. There we go.
How many of you have heard the story of the Roadrunner? Put your hands up. How many have never heard the story of the Roadrunner? My story of the Roadrunner. I'm not talking about the cartoon. How many of you have never? Okay. All right. All right. I'm going to. This is very strange for me. I want you to know. Just watch me squirm and enjoy it as much as you can. Back at the beginning of the outpouring here, back where the dining room is here, that's where our prayer room was. We didn't have this wing over here at all. And we'd go in there, the dining area, we'd pray before services. And I remember one Sunday night, I would like to get there, prayer meeting starts at 5, but I like to get there a little early. I got there, I think, about 20 to 5 or something, and wanted to pray. So I was walking through praying, and it has glass doors and glass windows, kind of a wall of glass windows. And a roadrunner came up to the window with a big old lizard in its mouth and would just dance up against the glass. It hit the glass and come back, hit the glass. And I'm standing like this far away. I've never seen a roadrunner in my life. Now, those of you that are from parts of the country, that's normal. You know, I've seen them since. I've been in Arizona and so Phoenix, some of these places down in Texas, in Dallas, I saw some. But I'm standing this far away. He's jumping towards the glass. He's got a lizard in his mouth. And I'm thinking, this is too weird to not be prophetic. This is so strange. I hunt. I spend a lot of time outdoors. I hunt. I fish. I'm in this country. I've never seen one. I've never heard of one. Seen one. And there's a roadrunner in Redding, and it's not a cartoon. And I look at him, and eventually he goes away. And then other people start coming to the prayer meeting. So we're walking around praying. And I'm walking around, and Don Mayer walks in. He goes, oh, the Roadrunner's back. And I look over, and there he is again. I said, what do you mean back? He said, he was here last week. I went, he came to the prayer meeting? Yeah, he was here at the prayer meeting last week. You're kidding. He came last Sunday, now he comes tonight? Yep, came to the prayer meeting. All right, so I can hardly wait till the next week. Next prayer meeting, same thing. He showed up again. He didn't come to any of my sermons, but he came to prayer meetings. He would come to the prayer meeting. And he'd almost always have a big lizard in his mouth or a big night crawler or something. And he would dance at the window trying to get in. So I would call all my prophetic friends saying, you know, I don't want to spread this You know, I don't want any, people already think we're weird. They accuse me of all kinds of things. Talking to the dead, who knows what else, which I don't do. We've got this roadrunner that's been coming to our prayer meetings. And they would give me, you know, some stories about roadrunners and stuff, but nothing ever clicked. And finally I found that roadrunners are one of the only animals that will kill a rattlesnake. And I thought, all right, you're now my best friend. I'm not a real fan of snakes, especially the kind that can kill you. We don't get along. And so a roadrunner will actually dance around. The snake will strike. It'll move out of the way, use its peck to hit the back, his pecker, hit the back of his head, and then kill it and then eat it. He'll walk around for days with this long snake out of its mouth until they just slowly just digest the snake. I thought, well, it's weird, but it works for me.
That works. Amen.
So I thought, well, snake is devil. You know, roadrunner, you know, is good. And then I found he's related to the eagle. Who knew that? We started having our intercessors start praying into it and doing research for me. So they would quietly send me emails with information because this went on for months. And Bandy came to me one day. He said, Bill, last night, Wednesday night, the youth pre-service prayer, the Roadrunner came. So he would come to their prayer. He added their prayer meeting to his schedule as well. I thought, this is so strange. I kept asking God, what are you trying to say? Because they'd always tried again. He's always tried again and could never get in. What are you trying to say? And I had all kinds of interpretations, but none of them satisfied, to be honest with you. After this went on for a long time, we started building the prayer house over here. And if you've ever seen out of one of the windows looking east, there's a rock that if you look at it from a certain angle, it almost looks like the beak of an eagle. And while they were building, the Roadrunner would go over there and watch them build the prayer house.
Wow.
I'm just reporting. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not embellishing. He would just stand there and watch them build the prayer house. So this went on for quite a while. And he's almost become like a mascot, you know. And one day, one of our janitors came to me crying, just really broken. And I said, Bill, I said, what's up? He said, I killed the Roadrunner. I said, what? And he said, this is what happened. He says, I was upstairs. The Roadrunner got in. He was in the building. And he was up cleaning the upstairs room up there. And he said, the Roadrunner is there. So I turned on worship music, go sit in the middle of the floor. The Roadrunner would come right in front of him. And they would worship together. I don't know. I'm not saying he took his wings and I'm not saying that. Is this story weird? It is. Don't repeat this because you won't be accurate. Just don't. But I'm not saying he did that. But he would honestly come right in front of the guy. And he'd worship for a while. Then he'd start feeling bad about not working. So he'd get up and vacuum some more. And then he'd just be curious. I wonder if he'd do it again. He'd turn the music on, sit in the middle of the floor of the Roadrunner, come sit right in front of him and worship some more. Strange. And he said, I needed to clean the rest of the building. So I went down the hallway and the Roadrunner followed, came down the stairs. The Roadrunner came down the stairs, came down this hallway out here, this wide hallway. Walking along, and somebody was in a classroom and opened the classroom door behind them. It spooked the Roadrunner. He flew to the end of the hallway, into the plate glass window, and died. That's just that. That can't be the will of God. That's what I figured. So he told me. I says, "Where'd you put him?" He says, "I'll show you out back." I said, "Well, you know, let's go raise him from the dead because we." This can't possibly be the will of God, right? There's no dead Roadrunners in heaven. It was a weird experience. I know what anointing and presence is. I would have all this confidence as we'd walk towards, and I actually experimented. I would get about 8 feet away and it would lift. It was on me, and it would lift. I prayed anyway, because I don't want to just reduce things to what I discern, because I know that I see in part. I put my two fingers on his head, spoke life the best I knew how, and nothing happened. I went to my office. You've been trying to talk to us for months, and I still don't get it. What's up with this? And he spoke to me. He said, what I am bringing into the house has to have a way of being released from the house, or it will die in the house.
Wow. Wow.
What I am bringing into the house, that which God is pouring out upon us, has to be taken out of the house to people, or it will be inbred and die in the house.
Wow.
He talks in strange ways. But he had my attention for 6 months.
Certainly.
Because it was a bird that would show up. And it just confused me. But he enjoyed the dialogue. He doesn't mind confusing you if you'll come to him with questions. Scripture says in Proverbs 25, verse 2, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Do you understand that you are, according to both Peter and the book of Revelation, you are a royal priesthood? You are royalty. Our royalty is never more clearly seen than when we know we have permission to ask for the mysteries, to ask for the secrets, to ask for the hidden things. He has hidden them for us, not from us. So, everything I was going to talk about just got dumped. And I'm just going to invite...
There you go. All right, well... There. That puts this Sheila moment on everything that we've said tonight. Thank you, Father, for the perfect roadrunner but no coyote story.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. See, I can tell, what was it, Sister Sunday? Sunday had a dream.
Oh, yeah.
Of an angel that showed up at her house.
Yeah.
I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for every one of you to have a dream every single night. Yeah. If you're connected to me, I'm asking for God to give you a dream. But listen, I didn't have a roadrunner, but I used to. We go out here outside the apartment, and we go up just 50 yards, and there's a block. It doesn't have any houses built in it yet, but I'll pave road. And that's Ripley's exercise. All right, well, ours too. But in that period of my life, there was a robin that would meet me at the door of the apartment and begin to fly along the path as I went. Chirp, chirp. You know how they do? Chirp, chirp, chirp. And he would land on the stones on the side of there, and then he'd land on that fire hydrant, and then he'd fly over and he'd land on the stop sign, or on the two street signs, sit on top of that till I got there. And then he would go and land on the electric box when I was going, and he would land on the other one. He'd land, sit, and he'd just go right around that block with me. As long as I was out there, it was out there. And then I was on a well site, and there was a robin. I'm like, what? What? What are you doing here? I don't worship the robins. But what's God saying to you? Get serious with God. When he shows you something, it's that scripture he just said. Proverbs, what was it, 25? Let's grab it real quick. Proverbs 25. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And the glory of the king is to search the matter. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of the kings to search it out. And you and I, Sister Phyllis reads it every night. You and I have been made kings and priests unto our God and Father. No, I'm not going to settle, Father. I'm not settling for anything short of the most amazing blessing that you have for me, for my family, for what's going on right here in the community of faith. Pastor said he prays for us every night. I'm going to pray for him every night. Pray. I'm studying the Word of God every night all night long. Why? Because we're not going to stay like we are. We're going to the next level, and we're going to reach the next group of people in Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. And, you know, you and I have been so faithful to sit here and to speak faith and to learn faith and to develop faith and to grow in faith. Remember, to be speaking to every area of your life. Don't let any part of your life go that you don't speak to it. Look at this. See this right here? This is not the glory of God. I speak to it every day. I say a full head of hair. I don't care what my uncles or relatives or anybody had. My father is the God of heaven and earth. And when you hear about my elder brother's hairline, he has hair flowing in the wind, or however it says it in the book of Revelation. It was shining like white. Mine's more blonde than it is white, but no, I'm going to have a full head of hair. Why? It's according to my faith, so it'll be under me, not according to genetics of the Germans or the English or the Irish or the French or anybody else. Who cares about those genetics? We have been, our genetics have changed. We have the blood of our Father God pumping in our veins. We have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in. These things got to go. I say all the time, I have eyes to see and ears to hear. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Change that if. To sense you're now a believer. Now, there's a whole bunch of if yous in the New Testament. I don't know that we're going to study all of them, but it sure would be a good study. Sure would be a good study. And so you just keep believing God with us. And if you would like the link to that message that Sister Leanne posted, she'll post it in the family thread, all right? Because that's a very powerful message. Matter of fact, I've heard him tell that story in a different message. I never heard him tell it that the bird actually came down the stairs with him. God was doing a mighty work with this bird. And I, you know, we have roadrunners around here. I've not seen many of them. I've seen a couple. But now that I know that they're going to eat a snake and just let it hang out of their mouth while it digests down their belly, it's going to be my favorite bird there ever was. Eat that snake, dude. Let it just hang right out of the front of your mouth until it just digests inside of you and you're the happiest being there ever was. That's exactly how I feel. Well, and then like the situation with Sister Sunday. What did the angel mean? Don't ever stop saying, what's that mean?
Yeah.
What's that mean? What's that mean? I receive an answer right now today. You might not get an answer. What did he just say? It took 6 months. You might not get your answer today, but it's the glory of God to conceal that matter so you'll dig it out. You'll dig it out. Remember, he's your Father. Yes, he's God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But he also said, I will be to you a Father. And you will be to me children. in Jesus' name. Well, I don't know if you can tell, but I could just keep right on preaching tonight for four more hours. Brother Roger Oxy, I don't know where you are, but we miss you.
I know. Has anybody heard from
him? Get your four more hours here right now in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. And for those of you that don't know Roger, if he hears what I said, we're all a loving, big, happy family here. That was not mean and abusive and controlling, okay? It's amazing what you have to say in this day.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. What an interesting night tonight. We love the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for a wonderful program tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you orchestrate our lives 24/7, 365 from the day we've been born. And you are doing everything in your power to restore the years if we don't get in your way. Restore the years the locusts have eaten. I receive all of your abundant blessings you want in my life. I receive all of the revelation that you have for me so that we can walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's receive our communion together. Now, those of you in the East, I know that the hour is getting late. But as Jesus would say, could you not tarry with me? I understand completely. If you've got things you got to do and you got to get up in the morning, you are very much welcome to stay here with us. But we all know you may have to leave, and we understand that. Here we go. Communion verses. Nope. Here we go, the communion verses. There you go. Now, this is how we do communion around here. These are our verses. These are the verses in the New Testament where Jesus was talking to the apostolic Paul. Apostolic Paul. There we go. And don't worry about all the little icons around the words. If you try to click on them, they won't take you anywhere. The other night, Sister Leanne was doing something, and I'm like, why is that on my screen? Get on. I click on. I'm like, why is it not take? What's going on with my phone? Then I just realized, oh, it's on her phone. Don't worry about it. Here we go. And no, I won't click on them either, because that will take us somewhere and then be like, what is that all about? Here we go. We're going to read the verses. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation so everybody's right with God. Please stay with us. Those of you that are not born again, stay with us. Those of you that are apart, you missed the rapture and you found this video, man, listen to the rest of this video. Eternity, your whole eternity depends on this. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, till he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God's love is perfect. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. Now, I chuckled a moment ago because I once had somebody say, they went with me to a Dr. Barclay church service. And they said, man, that, you get about three sermons or four every time you go there. I'm like, I know, isn't it awesome? They're like, well, no, actually, I'm just used to one sermon, once a week. I said, listen to this. I said, wouldn't it be awesome if you could just have church about 3 hours every night? I actually said those statements to him. Isn't that something that now almost 4 years later, I have just now remembered the statement? What does that have to do with communion, Pastor? Not much. But it does have this. We're going to give you a lot of word because in this last day, the word is the only thing that's going to help you. And you've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You've got to be. Here we go. Pray the prayer of salvation. Everybody pray it. No matter whether you've already prayed the prayer of salvation or not, I want you to pray it at home. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Scroll. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16.
I choose to believe
you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say,
I receive
you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome. We're glad you're here. It says pause and shout. You might be. You if you just prayed that prayer for the first time on the inside of you, you're like, what is going on inside of me? God's going on inside of you. Think about what we're doing right now. The last thing we're doing for many people before they go to sleep is we're taking communion with them. And they're baptizing themselves in the blood and the broken body of Jesus. What an amazing thing. Look at this. Your darkness turns to light. Screenshot. Fear turns to faith. Jesus is the light of the world, and you just ask him to come live in you. He's the author and finisher of the faith, and you just ask him to come live on the inside of you. Right now, you are being made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that makes you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. All of that just happened right there during that one prayer. Watch this. All of your sins were removed and imputed to Jesus. But Jesus already paid the price, so that just rolls them off into the sea of his forgetfulness. And he imputes his righteousness to you. You don't deserve it. None of us did. But if you receive it, you get to enjoy it. Like all of us do. In Jesus' mighty name. You might say, Pastor, I don't know if I understand all this. You probably don't. Here's some more good verses. Screenshot it. Give you some verses to study. Here's my email address and the website, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. It's my website, and that's my email. The website, samueljcottle.com. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell, and you will be able to find a lot of valuable information there. Any way we can help you walk with God, we will. Ask 1,000 questions. I've got a video for every question you ask that's already made, and it'll help you know how to walk with God. Now, here we go. See what happens when I hit that other button there that I wasn't supposed to hit? Pretty colors show up, an eraser shows up. You don't want to touch any of that. Just click done and get out of it. There you go. Here we go. Let's hold our elements up just like this. And we'll receive the communion elements together. Jesus, pray this. As you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood, poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotion. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, and the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. You endured the cross, despising the shame, and you did it all for us. Here we go. Pray this with us. Now I bless this fruit of the vine
in
obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus,
I have been redeemed.
By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus,
my conscience is purged.
Oops. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle,
or
any other blemish
when you come for me.
I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Let's sing together. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, there we go with our program for this evening. Now, thank you for being a part. Thank you for every one of you that have prayed with us, used your faith with us. I truly believe that I pastor one of the most patriotic groups of Americans there are, because you join with us in faith and you pray for this great nation. Thank you. And remember, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and your labor of love that you have shown toward his name. He won't forget it. And he will bless you. And he will help you, and he'll take care of you. And think about it. Your crown is being added to every day. I think about this all the time. Every time we speak Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, we hook our faith with everybody else that's speaking it around the nation. You know how many people's lives are changed because we're doing that? Every time we speak the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, everybody that's out there that's speaking it, we're adding our faith to their faith. Do you know, you don't see it, but these young people like Charlie Kirk and Kelly, whatever that Kelly girl's name is, all of them that's there on Flashpoint with Gene.
Yeah.
You're helping every one of them stand so boldly out there. in the face of this wickedness. And are we doing it so we can get something out of God? No, but I am doing it so I get a crown. Because I'm going to give that crown to Jesus, because he's the one that's worth it. So yes, I'm doing it for a crown on purpose. But I'm going to hand that crown to Jesus because he's the one that's worthy. How in the world do you and I make it all come together? When we hook into his system, man, this thing comes together amazingly. Jesus' mighty name. Sister Phyllis, you ready to read? Tonight, we're going to have Sister Phyllis read the 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm has 175 verses. So all y'all just sit down and, hang on, but it'll be good. Don't see it. If you're there, sister, everything on my end's open. So she's probably out wrestling the gator, trying to be like the roadrunner. I'm just going to walk around with that gator hanging out of my mouth, let him just digest. I think that's part of the story. I never heard that before. I love a roadrunner. They're now my favorite. I mean, I always liked, Wile E. Coyote and the roadrunner. That's me. All right. Evidently, Brother Sister Phyllis got something happening there. So this is what we're going to do. Isaiah. Watch this. This is a whole new set of verses. Isaiah 60. Verse 1. We'll go down through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come. I like that. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You know, theatrics like we have them today, wouldn't it be cool to go, and then the light goes, ding. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth. It will. Gross darkness, people of the earth. We're there. But the Lord will arise over you. In Old Testament, it's over. New Testament, it's inside of. His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles will come to the brightness of your light. Kings to the brightness of your shining. Lift up your eyes all around and see it. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar. And your daughters will be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Job 33. Brother Richard, if you're still with me, before I take off tonight, I might try to do some of this. Might do a trial run with you before I take off from my chair. I'll call you as soon as we're done. Job 33:14. For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they're slumbering on their beds, I declare deep sleep comes on you. Unless, of course, it's time to wake up, then awakeness comes upon you. Then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed, conceal pride from man, keeps back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. 26, 25, his flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. I like that. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. And then Joel says, restore the years that the locusts have eaten. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Amen.
Amen.
Till we see you again. This is what we say. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Sister Sunday, Sister Rebecca, Brother Richard, all y'all that will come later on, go to you on Facebook. We love you. I don't get to see you because I don't get to see comments. I would love to see you. Honestly, I truly love to see you. Make sure you stop by YouTube every now and then, or we're learning how to use Rumble. But just be strong in the Lord, and may God's richest blessing fall upon you tonight. We'll be here tomorrow morning, Friday morning, at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, for another in the series of Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
All right. There we go. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, Sister Phyllis, you got anything else we got to say? Brother Richard and I are going to work on doing a trucking show throughout the night, Brother Dan, and see if we can make it a call-in show somehow with Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds good.
Already got the channel there. All we got to do is just use it. So, that's what that's all about. Got anything else you need to say?
No.
All right. God bless you. Love you.
Yeah.
Well,
wow, there is such a lag over there. It just ended.
Wonder why nobody, I wonder what this is. The listeners.
Do you want me to print this whole paper? Or do you want me to just take this out and put it in the folder? They're going to want to put it in the folder, so it's easier to keep it, all right?
Yeah.
Can you bring that?
Yes.
Salvador, is that what they said?
They're canceling all kinds of words out of this. But he's taking this video and he's fuzzed out all this stuff. so he can use the video.
Really? Huh.
Well, I love it.
Hmm?
No, I'm not going to bed.
My love.
Jeez. Because it's time to go to work. It is time to go to work, and I'm not working until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't work.
It doesn't work.
That dog don't hunt. So, I'm going to change my clothes, and I got anything to take with me to eat?
That's what I was going to ask you. Will you take your monkey bites with you? And you want to take that pizza, too?
No,
and...
I don't want to take monkey bites with me. I'm going to make all my eating I do when I'm on the road, I'm going to make it very simple. I got my boiled eggs.
Monkey bites is very simple.
Monkey Bites is all bread and sugar and bread, and it's just sugar. There's nothing nutritious about it. It was delicious today, and we enjoyed it, but I'm going to make my eating light and enough, and so that I can have plenty of autophagy and plenty of... beta-carotene. What's the other stuff that happens? Autophagy and ketosis. And that's what I'm going to do.
So do you want to take the pizza with you?
No. No.
What are you doing back there? What do I hear?
No. I'm probably going to just resort to, I'm going to resort to my sardines and my soup.
Oh,
that's easy.
Soup heated up to take?
That's easy. I could do that. Well, no, because it's going to, you don't have to worry about heating it because it's going to be cold by the time I get to it tomorrow at noon anyway. So.
I know. We need to get a microwave in there for you.
This is true. That does need to happen. But I need to get about $10,000 to John. No, I need to get $50,000 to John because that's what we're doing.
A microwave is what, $50, huh? Does your outlet work?
No, not right now for some reason.
It doesn't?
No. But we can figure out how to get it to work.
Okay. So do you want just in your plastic bowl soup or do you want it in your thermos?
I'd put it in the thermos.
And then what are you going to heat it up in?
I'll heat it up in the plastic bowl. Didn't I bring my bowl in? Yeah.
So why don't you just want the soup in the bowl to start with?
Because if it's inside of steel, keeps better than if it's inside of plastic. That's how I see it. Might not be the case, but that's how I see it.
you want to take some ham?
Are you sure you're sure?
No, probably not, because it's my whole thing is when I took the tabbouleh, it didn't keep, and you can't take ham and then have it.
So
not
the refrigerator isn't working.
No, it didn't work.
Properly.
Well, let's take that and see how that works. Yeah, it's just too much to mess with, love. But what we're seeing is the importance that we need a refrigerator in our trucks. Our guys need
refrigerators and
microwave.
So we're what? Hey, the cutest little bulldog, anyone?
And the cutest little bulldog there ever was. Scratch, 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 scratch. All right, well, here we go. For this opportunity, we will not be dissatisfied.
And thank you, Father, for $289.
We would have done 350,000.
Do you want to take some cheese with you? Some fruit? You want to take some cans of fruit with you or cheese or what? down the road, isn't it?
Well, it's a can of soup and a thing of sardines is the easiest thing.
Okay, so do you want some cheese, sliced cheese? Does that not work that well either?
Sliced cheese is alright, yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, I like cheese, but I end up buying the string, and it ends up costing me $6 just to have a little bit of cheese, and I can get a whole lot more than that.
Did we finish the oatmeal?
So much that he was willing to do everything he went through Jesus. The moon experience is supernatural.
That's a powerful statement. What he just said about John Charles, Charles Wesley and Finney is exactly what happened with John Tomlin tonight.
Really?
We would be best of friends. He went the way of holiness. I went the way of the holy word. I don't know what else to say.
Do you want to take more? I put one box in there. Do you want to take two? Do you have any left in there? Or?
No, I have lots left.
Oh, do you?
Because I took two boxes the other day. What I don't have is boxes of mineral water.
I know, and I only have one bottle.
But that's okay. I can get it. I can go over there and get it. Thanks.
Well, do you want to change that glass?
No, I got some. Thanks.
I put three of those three periods over there.
I got some up there. I got enough to get me through to when I can go to Cashmice. Because Cashmice has a bunch of them in there. I already looked. I'm up there tonight and just get some. I just love this life. There's no reason for us to ever be unhealthy and ever be 1 pound overweight.
Amen.
Ever. Another day in my life. So, my question to you and me is, are we going to, when's the next extended fast? Do you want to do a 3-day? Do you want to do a 7-day?
I don't know. I was thinking we should do a 3-day at least a month. I know she only does twice a year, but.
Twice a year?
Yeah.
That's what she said?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, she's recommended doing it in January and September.
I know I'm going to end up down above 165. I forgot to weigh myself. Did you weigh yourself lately?
Yeah.
How much you weigh? How much have you lost?
Are you going to lift it? Did you lift the room easily stuff? Did you eat the rest of the room easily stuff?
I weigh 205 pounds. Do I actually weigh, have 15 pounds of clothes on?
I would weigh. You can't weigh yourself with all your clothes on and at night. You're supposed to weigh yourself with 15
pounds. Well, I understand, but I haven't weighed myself. So I have to weigh myself. Now, this man, Richard hasn't texted me back, so man, that's that tree. This goes over top of my coat. This thing goes over top of my shirt. And if I just...
Well, where's my key? Oh.
Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. This harvest. This harvest.
So when does this have to be?
As soon as possible.
Sent in, or are you going to fight it?
Well, I think I need to say something. I think I need to confront it. But we're going to have to figure out how to do it. I'm going to take this and see.